So I walked into the Wrangler hut and got hired on the spot. I was like, you guys are really busy, eh? Like, it looks like you need an extra hand. And he's like, do you want a job? And I kind of looked at him and I said, what do you mean? He's like, well, we need someone to work for the next 11 days if you're keen. And I looked at Tess and I kind of looked back at the guy whose name was Dave. And I said, yeah, totally. Welcome to The Safe Haven. I'm your host, Amanda Lytle. The Safe Haven offers a collection of conversations about life's challenges and the pivots we make in order to keep moving forward. The Safe Haven has recently shapeshifted into a bi-weekly release with alternating bi-weekly releases of a segment called Road Trip, where my friend Jennifer Porter and I have the kinds of chats that you'd have with a bestie on a road trip. After a pretty significant breakup, I booked a one-way ticket to Australia. Having spent a year in Argentina as an exchange student years ago, I was hell-bent on getting my second-year visa work done and dusted. From a nannying gig to house-sitting, meeting new friends, and working on a cattle station, I share how I lived in Australia almost completely rent-free for a year, with a few detours and really only just scratching the surface about my time in Australia. This trip is a good one. But before we jump into today's drive, I'd love to remind you how much we would appreciate it if you could follow The Safe Haven on your podcast app. Leaving a rating or writing a written review helps us reach more people and show other listeners and podcasters that we're legit. Every single one helps, so if you haven't done so, we'd be so happy if you did. Here we go. Hello, road trip friends.
I'm Jen.
And I'm Amanda.
And we're two adventurous souls with a huge passion for travel and chasing the unordinary. You know those podcasts that you listen to that you feel like you're hanging out on the couch with a friend or on a long road trip chatting with your bestie? That's what we've created, and we want you to come along for the ride.
Sometimes it'll just be us, and other times we'll pick up a friend along the way for some additional insights. Each road trip episode, we'll be sharing a variety of insights and perspectives, lessons, and memories from our lives.
Sometimes we may cry, but we'll laugh way more, honoring every emotion that comes up authentically. That's what road trips with your besties are for.
So grab a snack, pop in those earbuds, and buckle up. How often do we jump in this van full? Like, I'm stuffed.
Well, we love snacks. I know. Wait.
I know.
Let's start this again. G'day, mate. How you going?
How you going? Oh my God, I love that you just said that. I was just thinking as I was buckling up here that I'm so full. Like, we're always full when we get into this thing.
We're really well nourished.
We are well nourished. But how about that pizza?
God, love me a good pie. I'm also into the sausage rolls too.
Oh, this is going to be a good drive today.
Yes, I can feel it. I am so stoked for this drive because last episode we talked about my adventures down under. Mm-hmm. And now we're going to talk about your adventures down under. And I'm so excited to see how similar and how different they are.
Well, that's kind of what I was thinking about today because I was like, well, I didn't get fired from anywhere. Like, this might be boring.
Yeah, I got fired a few times.
I know. So I just feel like our trips were so, so different. Like, of course, there were some similar experiences, but overall, they were so freaking different.
Okay. I need to know when you went.
2012.
So yes. You went the year after I got home.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Okay. So you were 25?
Yes.
Okay.
I do believe.
And what took you to Australia? Why did you go?
Okay. So I ended a relationship in June of 2012, and then through the summer and grieving and trying to figure out what was next, I was actually working at the liquor store down in London, Ontario. And thank gosh I had this woman that I was working with that was just kept calling my bullshit. I just kept wanting to go to Australia. I want to book a one-way ticket. And I kind of said these things and she'd be like, then go. Oh, but what about my car? Sell it. Oh, but what about my stuff? Store it. What about my family? Like, I'll miss them. And my sister hasn't had her kid yet. So they'll be here when you get back. So it was just like, I just appreciated Janice. Hi, Janice. So much because she just called my bullshit. So without telling anyone what I was up to, I got the visa, which is what you did as well. I loved listening to your story because I was like, I did that. I also booked a one-way ticket.
Yes.
Yes. And it was exhilarating. And then in the process, it was more of a, I'm doing this for me. And even more so now than ever, I definitely will turn inwards and just kind of see how a decision feels before I tell anyone about it. That's exactly what I did there. So I booked a one-way ticket, lots of packing up, trying to figure out what was next. I actually knew, having spent a year in Argentina when I was 17, 18 years old as an exchange student, I knew that I was going to want to spend more than a year. So one of my priorities upon arriving was get a job that will help me acquire my second year visa. So I flew out at the end of October, and within a couple of weeks, setting up Gloria Jeans by the Southern Cross Station.
Yes, like, Melbourne.
Yes, I love that city.
Yes.
And
yes, it's great.
Yeah, so I spent a bit of time there, and that's where I lost my bag. So of course, my bag didn't arrive. There's so many little stories. That's what I mean. Like, I was there for just over 2 years, so there's so many stories that I could go on and on and on about. But I feel like if I give you a timeline, we can kind of jump back.
Okay, I want to pause for a second. Sure. Did you take a backpack?
Yes.
Did you take an extra bag full of tampons?
No. I did not, nor did I have a wheelie bag.
Okay.
Yeah. I had a
How big was your backpack?
I think it was a 65.
Okay. Okay. Wow.
Yeah, you had really outdone me.
Because I don't know how to pack. We've already been through that.
I think, though, that I had done a couple trial run packing jobs. I really went for it. I actually remember blogging. I had a blog called From My Heart to Yours that I started. And I'll never forget the feeling that I was experiencing sitting on the couch in my parents' basement being like, oh my gosh, in less than 24 hours, I'm not only going to be on a plane, but I'm going to be somewhere over an ocean by myself on a one-way ticket to the land down under. Anyways, okay, so I landed there.
You landed in Melbourne?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, exactly. It was actually like Sydney and then the quick stopover, just like... Turns out my bag was left in Sydney. Then they gave me the $100 just to be like, sorry, lost your bag. And it should be here in 4 days. Well, thank gosh, though. It's like, as a traveler, you know that you should be putting a couple pairs of undies and socks and an extra change of clothes in a carry-on, which I was well ahead of.
And thank God for Cotton On. Am I right?
Oh, you're so right.
Yes.
It's so cheap and it's so great.
Yes.
I know.
Yes.
Then from there, I had found a job on an egg farm. For a variety of reasons, I'm going to keep the place where that egg farm was and not a part of this conversation, only just because there's a lot to that story. So I ended up getting a job on an egg farm as a nanny, and I immediately flew over because I was like, oh my gosh, this is going to be great. I'm going to get paid.
Flew over where?
Sorry, I flew into Perth.
Okay.
And then I took a bus to where I was going. I spent a couple weeks there. Oh, also, huge side note, in the process, before I had left the LCBO, this incredible... tasting lady, her name was Diane. She had said to me, she goes, oh, my son lives on the Gold Coast, and I think that he's actually going to need a house sitter for the month of December and the beginning of January. They're planning on coming home. You should stay in touch just in case it works out. So I was like, oh, thanks, Diane. That's great. So she put me in touch with her son, Ron, and his wife, and in the Gold Coast. And the offer was there. So I kept saying, you know, if I don't have something lined up, I'll be there. Well, I actually ended up shutting that down and went for this egg farm job as a nanny. And I think, so yeah, the farmer, this woman farmer had, and her husband, they had 3 kids at the time. And after a couple weeks, it was just not a good space. She was quite emotionally abusive and she was always putting me down. It just was not a good space to be in. Having said that, the other employees at the farm I connected with brilliantly, had such a good time. I think I was honestly only there for 2.5-3 weeks before I was like, I need out. This is not a healthy place for me to be. So then I went up to Fremantle. When you had mentioned Frio the other day, I was like, oh my gosh, yes. And so this is now in November, end of November that I was up there. And when I finally had reception, I called Ron on the Gold Coast and I was like, hey, I know that I turned down this house sitting opportunity, but I can do it. And so he just said to me, he's like, this is amazing, Amanda. Fly over. I'll pick you up at the airport. We'll get you settled in. And then you can be here. Just look after our dog and our cat for the month.
Sweet.
Unreal. I swear I have a horseshoe stuck up my butt because I honestly, when I actually think of the first year that I was there, I hardly paid rent. There's so many more stories to this. But so while I was in it was actually called the fire station. I'm pretty sure it was called the fire station, a hostel in Frio. So I stayed there and I had met this English backpacker there named Alex. And we were quite flirty, but for me, there was nothing really there besides like a friendship. And I never saw anything super romantic, but me being super sweet and like just a very generous, kind human being, when I found out that he was going to be alone for Christmas, I had said, well, I'm going to be on the Gold Coast if you want to fly over. So he took that as like a she's into me, which whoopsie, that was so my bad. He ended up flying over. We ended up spending a week together. And in that week, the reason that Alex really matters is because he had friends in a place called Toowoomba, an hour and a bit inland from Brizzy. And while I was in Toowoomba with Alex meeting these people, I met Rachel and Dave Girdler and their three kids. That's who I went to see in 2019, in July 2019.
Amazing.
That's a whole other story. That's when I went to the UK because they have since moved back. So Dave's from England originally. Rach is from Scotland. And one of their kids was actually born in New Zealand, Ava. So here we are. So wow. I ended up hitting it off something incredibly well with Rachel. And after I was back on the Gold Coast, we stayed in touch. Alex was out of there. Had to break his heart and say like, look, pal, this is actually not going anywhere. I just thought this was a friendship. But thank you so much for inviting me to Toowoomba because I love the Girdlers. And then that, because they were just settling in Toowoomba, Rachel wanted a friend and said, we would love for you to just come and hang out and stay here as long as you want. If you're able to just kind of pitch in around the house a little bit, we'd love to have you here. So I moved in with them for a couple months. And those were some of my best times in Australia. I felt like I was immediately a sister to Rach, an auntie to the kids. It was beautiful. And then I started looking at this website called Ag Workforce, which helped place people like into their jobs for their second year visa. And then I got placed on Wentworth Cattle Station in central Queensland. And I was signing up to be a farmhand, just like a cleaning, cooking assistant, mustering, branding, dehorning, vaccinating. Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. Wow. You had me at like branding and then you went further to dehorning and vaccinating.
And castrating.
Yes. Okay. I got to ask. Okay. Did you have to wear that glove that you put on and it goes up to your shoulder and you put your arm up a cow's butt?
No, but I saw a lot of that when we were preg testing all of the cows. Yes. I never did it.
The cows.
Actually, so Tessa, who was one of the vets there, she ended up having this really expensive probe that she had. And she had this ball cap that had like a little screen that she could actually stick this probe in and it would tell if the cow was actually full or not, if it was pregnant or not. Interesting, eh?
Wild.
It was so fast. Well, think about it. So
you branded a cow.
Which, you know, sorry, all of my animal lovers. I learned so much on that farm as to how animals can be treated very well within the meat industry and have so much respect for farmers like the family that I stayed with.
Okay, so I'm on this branding. Like what are they doing that they don't just run away from this rod?
Right. So there's a really cool, it's a contraption that's called a crush, which doesn't actually crush. More than anything, it actually simulates a hug. So they walk through it and then you put this thing that kind of hugs around their neck and it just kind of holds them in place. Okay. And then actually, because they're tiny little guys, it's a teamwork effort. There was a whole crew of us that were working there. It actually turns them just up onto their side so that they basically so that they can't run away. And then it does it. And the more I talk about it, I mean, having been there, for anyone listening who has not actually been there, it sounds absolutely awful and terrible. And I'm sure I have listeners right now that are like, oh my God, Amanda, I'm out of here. You suck. But then there's also going to be people that are like, wow, that was quite an experience.
That's pretty cool. Like, that's quite the experience.
It was an experience, to say the least. I mean, I learned so, so much. And to anyone who works in that industry and works in farming, and it's their livelihood. And I did gain a lot of respect for the people out in that industry. And let me tell you, there were aspects of the job that I literally had to pinch myself. The station that I was on was 90, and it's not even a big station, but it was 96,000 acres.
Wow.
Huge.
It's just huge.
One paddock would be like 2,500 to 5,000 acres, and they had almost 10,000 cows at this farm. So James, oh, I miss James. James was like a little brother. He hates it when I reference him as a little brother, but it's what it was like. And he was such a saving grace for me because there were some really long, hard days. And actually, when you mentioned on your episode when I was driving about getting paid is I ended up getting compensated quite well and actually had free accommodation available where I was. So it was great. I literally got paid. Well, there was other days. I mean, I wasn't always out mustering and branding cows. That was just part of the experience. The majority of my time was definitely meant for anything related to the house and the property, helping cook and clean, but also doing the other stuff, which included riding horses in order to move mobs of cows from one paddock to another and just general maintenance stuff. Yeah.
Cool.
Mm-hmm.
So you did this work so you could get your second year.
Exactly. So 88 days there.
So you did the 88 days?
Yeah.
No more, no less?
I think it was down to like 90 or something like that. Yeah. Like I was there a little bit longer, but when I look back, it was quite a blip, but oh gosh, like talk about character building. I could go on and on and on about how difficult and how stressful it was. And there were times that the boss and I really butt heads. There were days where the day was so, so hard. Poor James had to put up with me just sobbing. And for anyone listening that has done the backpacking and Central Queensland or Northern Territory type work, it's freaking hard. So.
Yeah. I mean, it sounds all of your duties, mm-hmm. like what an experience.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So then 88 days is up, 90 days is up. Then like what? Mm-hmm. What's now?
So then that put me into around the time of my birthday, actually. So into May. I wasn't paying rent to be there. I hadn't paid rent in Toowoomba. I got to house it. And prior to that, I was working on an egg farm. So like at this point, I haven't paid rent besides a couple nights at a hostel. And then so for the next little bit, I ended up scooping another house sitting gig for one of my friends, Kristen, who's actually from Halliburton, but had moved and was living with her husband at the time and their two kids in Geelong, which is just west of Melbourne, like kind of in the bay.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So I was house sitting there while they went to Canada and I was there for a couple weeks. And then after that, oh my gosh, it's just all such a blur. I ended up getting another job. It was with ANZUC. So it was just for teaching placements. So I was supply teaching on and off while I was there in Geelong and commuting from there, just taking buses and trains and stuff. And then I ended up getting a placement in a place called Robinvale, which is where I spent a lot of time. And it has such a chunk of my heart there. One of my best friends, Lucy, still lives there. Well, she's from Australia and she lives there on a farm with her husband, Patrick, and their two children. So it's not like she came and went, but was such a significant pivotal person for me there. Yeah. So I was there. I was in the Murray Valley there for a couple months. And then in the fall of that year, I called it quits. I was so frustrated with parts of the job that I ended up just pulling back. And then it was the winter holidays, Christmas holidays. And then I ended up going to, oh my gosh, this is just, it's so speedy when I think of all of this. This is now taking me to the end of 2013. So the beginning of 2014.
So we've already been in Australia a year at this point.
Yeah. Like it goes so quick, eh?
Yeah.
I had actually, this is beautiful because I had made plans when I was in Geelong at the end of May to fly home and surprise my family. So in December, I ended up spending some time, November and December, I ended up spending some time in New Zealand with one of my other best friends, Jess Bushell. And I was diving in exchange for food and accommodation. Like I was working in exchange for my diving certificates in New Zealand. And that was just all kind of just to split my first and second year visa, but also so that I could weave in being at home with my family. So I ended up flying home. I stayed for a week in Texas with my grandparents without my parents knowing, and then flew home. My brother-in-law, Joe, picked me up at the airport on the 23rd, drove me home to his house with Allison, and Kinley then was just over a year.
Had you met Kinley at this point?
I was with her for her first month, almost exactly.
Oh, wow.
And then, so yeah, a whole year and a bit had gone by at that point. And I will never forget walking in the door on December 23rd that night. And my sister didn't know who I was. And she kind of clued in and she looked at me like, oh my gosh. And she almost collapsed. It was just unbelievable. And then I stayed with them. I went to their family Christmas on the 24th, showed up at my parents' house on the 25th.
Wow.
Amazing. Mm-hmm. We're going to take a quick pit stop here for gas. So take a big stretch, jump around, grab something to nourish yourself with, and enjoy a quick break while we fill up.
So how long were you home from Australia?
About 3 weeks. And then I went back and
Oh my gosh. Like even that is a blur, because then I ended up walking back into a job back in Robinvale, and I was running a kindergarten and a preschool program. And cool. Yeah. And then after that, like after 4 or 5 months of that, I'd really, really done my head in there. Then at the end of June, I took off. I ended up buying a car for $2,000 cash. And it was a little Hyundai Accent, a bright red one that I called the Little Red Devil.
Yes, yes, yes.
So I bought that for $2,000 cash and I just drove it around. It was fantastic to have. Actually, I might have bought that earlier in the year. But then I remember loading that thing up and just taking off. And my original goal was to do the Great Ocean Road and then all the way over to Adelaide and then to drive straight up. I remember staying in Cooper Pedy. Did you stay there? It's like opal mines and you actually live underground because it's so hot.
I've heard of it. I don't think I ever went there.
Right. So I ended up like sleeping underground in a hostel there and then drove straight up through Ayers Rock. I met an incredible human named Sammy while I was there. We walked around Ayers Rock together. The base of that thing's like over 10K around. It was really cool. And we did that and watched the sunrise together. And then I continued onwards. I went up to the Northern Territory. And this is a weird story too, but I ended up showing up at a mutual friend's place who I had never met, but friends of mine had told me about this guy. And I ended up showing up and didn't leave. I was going to continue onwards up to Darwin and then crisscross across through Queensland and over to Brisbane. Oh my gosh, like this story just keeps going. So like it's all coming back to me now. So I was there for a little bit and then I had the opportunity to go over and visit friends in Brisbane. So I ended up going. And then while I was in Brisbane.
Wait, did you drive or fly to Brisbane from the Northern Territory?
Flew. Great detail. Yes. Okay. So I flew. I left my car at the Darwin Airport. Flew over just to visit them because I was originally supposed to be going to see them. And I was like, April Fools, I'm actually not going to be coming over anytime soon. I'm actually really enjoying my time on this farm, but I'm going to fly over. So I flew over. I was only supposed to be there for 2 weeks. And the night that I got there, they picked me up from the airport and they're like, oh, we're going to go to the ECA. I'm like, sweet. So the ECA is like this, it's almost like the CNE, like a huge fair thing with rides and shows and vendors and restaurants and horse shows and cattle shows and all the things. So I was like, yeah, let's go. And then that night I wanted to buy cowboy boots, of course. So I walked into the Wrangler hut and got hired on the spot. I was like, you guys are really busy, eh? Like, it looks like you need an extra hand. And he's like, do you want a job? And I kind of looked at him and I said, what do you mean? He's like, well, we need someone to work for the next 11 days if you're keen. And I looked at Tess and I kind of looked back at the guy whose name was Dave. And I said, yeah, totally.
He's like, a discount on cowboy boots.
All the things. Oh, it was incredible. Amazing. So yeah, I ended up working for 11 days and visiting Tess along the way as well and staying with her. And then flew back to Darwin. And then longest story short of even why I stayed as long as I did there was the owner of the farm who I had a fling with. Fling slash. It was more of a... It's actually quite unfortunate because his mom was dying of a really horrendous cancer in her face, in her jaw. It was awful, awful, awful. And since I had the know-how and the skill set and the confidence and competence to actually drive a tractor, to move livestock around, and it was only sheep and...
I can just see you driving a tractor, moving livestock around.
It was awesome. Well, when I say livestock, I'm talking like they had 13 horses, but then they also had like 50 or 60 sheep. So it was just sheep.
I love it.
Yeah. Man, oh gosh, you would not have believed the things that I drove while I was there, between like huge, big trucks to like an old grader, like flattening paddocks. Then I'd be teaching for the day and I'd come home and drive a tractor and sow crops or like run through the field. So
did you drive those? What are they called? The transport trucks?
Road trains.
Road trains.
I did not drive a road train.
Okay. Okay. No, those things are wild.
They are.
Yeah. Okay. I need to ask. So where did my brother and Brittany stay with you?
At this place up in the Northern Territory, up at that farm.
They were in the Northern Territory? That's news to me. Chris, you, Brittany, you guys went to the Northern Territory? Yeah.
Which is so funny because I even think about that too. And it's not like there was shame or embarrassment laced into the relationship that I was in at the time. It wasn't even a relationship so much as it was just like we were kind of cohabitating and I was really helping him out with his farm. It allowed him the time and the space to go and be with his mom as and when needed because I was able to run the show when he wasn't there and worry about the pumps and things like that. So
you full on ran a farm?
Well, I wouldn't go that far. It was like more of a hobby farm. But oh my gosh, let me tell you about one of the worst days ever. Because as we mentioned, when I was driving and you were telling me about your trip to Australia and we were talking about the Northern Territory and like up in the northern parts of Australia at that time of year, how flipping humid it gets.
Oh God, you walk outside and you're drenched.
I know, it's awful. It's literally 100% humidity and it's like 48 degrees. So there was like days that we'd be out fencing. Like, well, not fencing, like with... We weren't using swords.
I don't know if that's the right term or not.
No, I just feel like
they do in The Parent Trap.
Yeah, no, none of that.
Okay.
None of that. Fencing, like actually putting fences up.
Okay.
And you're drenched in sweat because it's that humid and it's that hot and it's awful. So mango madness or like going tropo is actually a thing. It's horrendous. So,
oh my God, I forgot about that term, going tropo.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a thing. Oh, I remember in the Gold Coast. Yeah, uh-huh.
Yes.
And then the smells that come off of people.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, it's a real thing.
Yeah, don't take me back to that. Gross.
Yeah, it was something special. Okay.
Okay, so.
Back to you.
Yeah, so I was up there and the water rising. Like, I have so many random little stories that I could tell you. That's why I'm trying to keep this more timely between here and ice cream. So, like, just the fact that... So, I was on the Daly River. And the Daly River is both freshwater and saltwater from the ocean. And so, it's a really interesting little ecosystem in there. So, it does have crocodiles. It does have bull sharks. It does have barramundi. So, when you said barramundi...
Bull sharks.
Yeah. And so I just remember being out there fishing. I grew up fishing. So I remember little things like growing up fishing and you just like get guts and fish guts or worm guts or whatever on your hands. And you would just reach over the back of the boat and you would wash your hands.
Yeah.
So I'll never forget doing that on the boat on the Daly River. And then all of a sudden out of nowhere, like the wind was knocked out of me. They had literally grabbed my shirt and pulled me back and I fell down and had knocked the wind out of myself. And they're like, what the hell were you doing? There's crocodiles looking at you right now. And I was like, oh my gosh, I didn't even think about that. So little things like that, that you'd have to worry about where you parked the boat so that you weren't being followed or stalked by crocs. Just nuts.
I heard if you run in zigzags, crocodiles can't run zigzags.
I don't know if I'd ever want to be in that situation.
Well, I mean, if you are.
You should see the picture of a crocodile that I have on my phone that they had to take away on like a 14-foot trailer.
Oh, God.
Yeah, gross. It was, anyway. Yeah, so big and so gross. So, yeah, like the Daly River when it, in monsoon season, when it floods everything, the houses up there in the Northern Territory there are on stilts because the water rises and then everything is underwater. So you boat everywhere. It's a whole new world. So you're boating to the house that for the other like 10 months of the year you drive to and park under.
Oh my gosh, that's so cool.
Right? But then I had this really cool experience actually where I was able to like kind of like hand rear these little babies, these little foals, which was so cute. And one of them named Rocky, who I was so obsessed with. This is like a year and a half later, I guess like a full on whatever it was later. As the water had risen, these horses got stranded. And I remember the owner of the farm had sent me a picture of this horse's muzzle and chest that had just been destroyed because as she was drinking, she was attacked by a croc. She ended up making it, thank gosh. But don't even contemplate these things, right?
No.
No. Anyway, yeah. So I was up there and then definitely had to call that quits and had to get out of there for numerous reasons. And then that's actually when I came home in January. Yeah, January 2015. And then I ended up coming back through Vancouver, saw some friends out here and then made it home.
Wow. So it's, you know, I find what's very interesting is you and I both had very different experiences in Australia,
mm-hmm.
but also very different than what the typical backpacker going to Australia experience.
There's no comparison yet.
Like you spent a lot of time on the farms and like that's like that's kind of something. I mean, although I was really ready to come home, I kind of like exercised doing the extra year. I kind of wish that option had been available to me and maybe I came home for like a month and went back.
Mm-hmm.
But like I just think it's really cool how like you, me, even my brother and Brittany, they had, like, we all had such different experiences. Like, Michelle Newman, when she went, like...
So different.
Everybody, like, yeah, it's just so different.
Well, even the little things that I think of, like, even just now having kind of given... And that is, like, the tiniest of the bullet points. I mean, there's still so many things that happened along the way. and the people that I met and the experiences that I had and the places that I traveled around to. And like, even from there, like when you mentioned Whit Sundays the other day, like I did the Whit Sundays, but that was on a different trip. I did Fraser Island with Jess. Like I did, I went up to Cairns to see a guy that I'd met in Airlie Beach. Like I, there was still so many things that I did while I was there, but they were, because I was living more like a local for a lot of my time, because I was staying in certain areas for longer periods of time.
Yeah.
It was like I was able to use that place as a home base in order to travel and do shorter trips as opposed to just backpacking and always having my bag on my back.
Yeah. And I mean, that's the beauty of it, right? Like I never imagined that I would spend 4 months on the Gold Coast. Mm-mm. And it kind of like, yeah, became the home base. And definitely I feel like even my like Australia story that we talked about last episode, like there's so much more like the funny stories. Like, I mean, yeah, sure. I got fired from almost every job, but like, the things in between, and like I just like I could crack up laughing right now, like just thinking of some of the things where it's like it's very hard to put a year, well, 10 months in my case and like 2 years in your case, into this like
a quick drive.
Yeah. So I mean, definitely in upcoming episodes we're gonna share some travel stories.
Oh, for sure. Yeah, because yeah, there's so many little things that I could share. And like scary things, sad things, really joyful things.
Yeah. I got myself into some pretty interesting situations where it's like I didn't think the situation through. Mm-hmm. It was more of an impulse or out of like necessity that I needed to do something. Mm-hmm. And I was like, okay, I'm going to have to like deal with the consequence when it happens, if it happens.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Honestly, though, like I think to myself, I'm going at a little bit of a limb here. I mean, of course, I went to college for hotel management and hospitality services. And the year that I spent in Australia, I learned so many more life skills. Like I learned so much more than I learned spending 2 years in school. For I mean, sure. Yeah, sure. I went to school for hospitality, but I think traveling in general, whether it was Australia or whatever, I just learn so much. And more or less, it's what I learn about myself.
Yeah, I was just going to say
what I'm
that.
Capable of.
Yep.
You know, I think I've referenced in one of these podcast episodes that I was in a hospital in Kenya. Well, I mean, I was also like, I got like a tropical cyst in Australia that I was like, had this open wound and had to like go in for like this laceration, like just random stories that, yeah, I can't just fit into a drive. And I feel like you too. It's just
right.
But these stories have like shaped us.
Yeah. Oh, completely. Completely. Like character shaping for sure.
Yeah.
Self-awareness big time.
Oh my goodness. And like I think to myself, like when I was doing this stuff, this was 10 years ago, 11 years ago.
Wow. Yeah. Mine's 9. Yeah. And that's it, is when you said last time was there are things that you would do completely differently. I think back and there's some things that I wouldn't do. There's some things I do 10 times over.
Oh, yeah. Same. There's like my stint in the Northern Territory. I look back on that and I'm just like, that was more one of the pivotal things for my Australia thing. And it was just, it was so random. Like, so it's very, very interesting. Like it's, we both did Australia, but both did it so differently. And how it was shape-shifting for both of us.
Yeah, definitely some of the most foundational years of my adult life, for sure.
Oh, yeah. I don't know if I consider that my adult life, but it's questionable. Questionable.
Okay.
Yeah.
Can you see up there? Can you actually see that we're getting so close? You just saw that sign.
For the ice cream.
Are you ready? Like, should we pull over here?
I mean, I am still so full from our snacks, but I can never turn down ice cream. We eat ice cream every day.
I know. Should we do it?
Yeah, but we need to run around the van 10 times and do 10 jumping jacks.
I'm in.
Okay, before we get the ice cream.
Yeah, because I cannot even imagine doing that after. I think I'd probably barf.
If you're ready, I'm ready.
I think I might switch it up actually tonight and try your mojito one if they have it here.
The mojito sorbet? Mm-hmm. It is to die for.
I'm hopeful. Or talk mango.
Mango sorbet. I don't know. I might go on a limb and like try something like cotton candy, bubble gum, like something like that.
You're speaking my language. Okay, like slam the brakes there. Okay, thank gosh, we've actually made it. And friends, we have so enjoyed your company and we appreciate you coming along. Make sure that you take a big stretch and nourish yourselves today.
If you had a nice trip today, be sure to follow us on your podcast app and jump back in next week. Tell your friends, they'll fit in the van. We'll gas up, grab snacks, maybe ice cream, and continue down the open road next week. G'day, mate.